All right, good morning. Today's daf is Daf Yud Ches in Bechoro, second perek. We're on page. We are in the middle of one of the most classic discussions in the Masechta Bechoros, and that's the topic of F. Shalit Samtzim versus E. F. Shalit Samtzim. We discussed in Bechoros because it comes up in the context of a Mishnah where an animal is giving birth to twin boys, and the boys come out at the same time. Okay, now that's extraordinarily painful to think about, but think about it this way. We're not talking about humans, we're talking about animals. Okay, and for you animal lovers out there, so I'll have a little more sensitivity. But it's just a bit more. So they come out at the same time, and now we know the following. The one whose head comes out first is the Bechor. So if you say F Shalit Samtzim, so you may maintain, and when I say you, I mean Rav Yosef Haglili, you're maintaining that number one, both of them could have come out at the same time, and we can determine that. In other words, that's establishable. I don't know if that's a word, but it'll work today. And that's establishable. And also you hold that two animals can actually get the status of Bechor. Right? Rav Yosef Haglili says both points. Rav Yosef Haglili says, Hazecharim l'Hashem, it's possible to have multiple firstborns. I know it's tarte mineu bay, like stira mineu bay, to say that you could have two Bechors. In other words, the whole idea of Bechor is that's one. Good. Rav Yosef Haglili says that both of them could be a Bechor and F. Shalit Samtzim, which means we know with precision that the two came at the same time. Consequently, according to Rav Yosef Haglili, both have a status of Bechor. Good. That's the opinion of Rav Yosef Haglili. Then we saw the Chachamim, and the Chachamim said, no, not possible. And the Chachamim hold E. F. Shalit Samtzim. We don't have that ability to be that precise. Now, remember I said yesterday, it's one of the most basic Nakudas regarding the whole topic of Eshalat Samtzim versus E.F. Shalat Samtzim. That we know the Chachamim say E.F. Shalat Samtzim. What does that mean exactly, E.F. Shalat Samtzim? So there's a Rashi, and the Rambam agrees with Rashi as well. E.F. Shalat Samtzim means there is no precise moment. Meaning it's not in reality that both of them came at the same time. One of them came at the same time, we just simply don't know which one. But in other words, E.F. Shalat Samtzim means that it's just realistically, physically impossible for the two of them to come out simultaneously. That is Rashi, that's the Rambam. Good. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says no. When the Chachamim say E.F. Shalat Samtzim, it's a perception issue. Meaning, it may be true that they both came out at the same time, but E.F. Shalat Samtzim, we have no way of measuring whether they came out at the same time or they did not come at the same time. If I could quote Tosfos, I quoted Tosfos yesterday, but we're starting again today, and really takes us to the core of the whole issue. Tosfos is on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Tosfos, I'm starting to read from Hachi Kamar. He quotes Rashi. He doesn't like Rashi. It's about 10 lines down from the beginning of the Tosfos. First word in the line is Mitzumsam. Ela Hachi Kamar. Tosfos says, E'efshar Levarer Simpson. Shibidei Shamaim Kigon Leida. Dahacha She'in Penai Levara Ula Dachdek. We just don't have enough time. In other words, look, it's a birth. Right? You got to sit there with your instruments and try to figure out which came out first. We're just not going to be able to figure it out. I mean, right? It's E.F. Shalat Samtzim means we just don't have the method of perception, of seeing which one came out first. Eze Yatzat Chilo Lakach Eishneim Lakoin. Ava Bidei Adam She'in Shalat Levara Mi Bayelan. Which then leads us to the Gemara's next question. And for Tosfos, you understand the Gemara's next question, which is, good. In a case where the animals come out, that's Bidei Shamayim, that's nature. So I understand E.F. Shalat Samtzim. But would the Chachamim say, what would the Chachamim say where it's Bidei Adam? Where they are trying and attempting to ascertain whether or not they came out at the same time, whether or not they're equal. What if we make an effort to do so? Which is the Gemara's next question. Which the Gemara refers to as Bidei Adam. What if it's done by human force or by human hands? Can we ascertain whether or not there is exact measurement? So for Tosfos, it's beautiful. Meaning because from Tosfos' standpoint, the whole issue is an issue of perception. And if it's Bidei Shamayim, we just weren't looking, we weren't paying attention. But if it's Bidei Adam, and now we are paying more careful attention, so maybe we can. Maybe we can be Mitzamtzim. Bidei Adam means that we're going out of our way to measure. Like meaning we're specific, like we're constructing.
Right, you build a mission.
Or,
as well. Exactly.
Right. Okay,
we're
right.
So we're doing something.
We're going out of our way to measure.
Be able to be
Yeah, so maybe there we could be exact. See, according to Rashi, it's kind of hard to figure out what was the flow of the Gemara. Because Rashi says that when the Chachamim say Iyar Shalatzam same, what Rashi's explanation is, it doesn't exist. Tzimtzum doesn't exist. There is no exact middle. There is no precise middle.
Well, yeah, so
according
that
to Rashi... Fine, but then what's difficult for Rashi is what's the progression of the Gemara? The Gemara says, well, the Chachamim feel that way bidei Shamayim, but do they feel that way bidei Adam? If it's a reality, so then you know the answer. The answer is going to be no. Just like bidei Shamayim, the answer was no. Bidei Adam, the answer is also going to be no. It's difficult to understand from Rashi's perspective why did the Gemara go from bidei Shamayim as a given to bidei Adam as I wonder. What's there to wonder about? Yeah, according to Tosfos, you understand, because the whole issue is an issue of perception. Meaning there is a middle point, there is a center, there is a way to be precise, but we just can't perceive it. Oh, that's if it happens without us looking. But what if we're looking? You see, Tosfos works out a lot better in terms of the flow. Okay, so we discussed now Efshel Tzamtzim in the context of Bechor, and then the Gemara moved on to discuss it in the context of an oven, breaking an oven in half. The Gemara says that's not a fair comparison, because when you break an earthenware oven, you're talking about breaking pottery in half. You're not going to get a clean break. So there, everyone's going to say EF Shalat Samsem. That's not fair. So the Gemara moves on to the next topic of discussion, which is where we left off yesterday, Tashma. Come in here, four lines from the bottom of the Amud on Yuzayin Amud Beis. Nimsa Mechuvan Bein Shtei Ayaros. You know where we are right now, in the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. Now, the general mitzvah is that if you find a dead body lying somewhere outside the city, so you have to measure. Whichever city is closer is going to have to bring a quasi-carbon. It's not really a carbon. It's kind of like a carbon. It's called the Egla Rufa. You bring it down to Nachal Eitan. You break the neck. You hatchet the neck. We just discussed this at length because in the first parak of Becharos, we noted that there's another time where you do Arifa, and that's by the Petr Chamor, the firstborn donkey, where if you don't redeem it, you have to be Orifit. Okay? So that is, and then, right, the Chachamim, the kingdom of the city, say, La Yaden Lo Shafcho Es Adam Azeh, right, we didn't kill the person. Okay, good. All right. Where do we discuss that? Sota. Sota. The mitzvah is discussed in Sota. Okay. In the meantime, however, we're just going to focus on one aspect of the mitzvah, and that's the measuring. The measuring of the body. Nimse Mechuvan Min Shtei Ayaros. What if you have this one body, and it's equidistant between two cities? Wait, we took out the measuring sticks, and we measured, and it comes out to the same number. So, Shtei Mevi, Shtei Agalos, Divrei Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar says, okay, each one's going to bring an Egla. Okay. Now, obviously, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yose Aglili. That's a no-brainer. Meaning, because obviously, the numbers that we ascertained, and the numbers are equal, and we're going to assume, wonderful, same. However, my time, I'm sorry, Egalos Divrei Rebbe Elazar, my time allowed me shum to kasar v'bidei adam efshel tzamtzim v'krova afilo krovos. So the Gemara makes exactly this point, that it's because he holds that it's efshel tzamtzim, but here's what the Gemara thinks at first. Oh, I understand, it's efshel tzamtzim and it's bidei adam, meaning this is human intervention. They're measuring it, right? And ukrova filo krovas. Now the pasuk says the ha'ir ha'krova. But what we're going to darshan, it's a funny drasha, is that krova could also mean krovot. Not necessarily one city that's close, but you could have two close cities. How you can have two close cities? Because they're equidistant. So that's what the Gemara now is suggesting. If all this is true, answers our question. Our question was, not within Rav Yosef Glili, but according to the Chachamim, is it possible to ascertain and get Simpson when it's Bidei Adam? But the Gemara says, what kind of rye you bring me? Lo, Rebbe Lazar, Savala, Karev Yosei, Galili. Damar, Efshalat, Samsem, Bidei Shemayim, V'choshekem, Bidei Adam. You didn't answer the question because it could simply be that Rebbe Lazar holds like Rebbe Yosei, Galili. And our question was never within Rebbe Yosei, Galili. We always knew that Rebbe Yosei, Galili holds Efshalat, Samsem, both Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam. Look, Rav Yosef Aglili holds the Bidei Shamayim. If he holds the Bidei Shamayim, where you're not even looking, you're not paying that careful attention, he certainly holds the Bidei Adam, So we have no raya because we're just simply going to argue that Rav Elazar holds like Rav Yosef Glili. Name it Ketanai. The Gemara now suggests maybe this issue of whether or not Efshalot Samsim, Re Efshalot Samsim is a machlokas Tanaim. Nimzu mechuvan mishtei ayaras. We have a braisa, and the braisa again goes to this case where the body was found equidistant between two cities. Nimzu mechuvan mishtei ayaras lahayu orphan. The Tanakhama says no arifa because there's not one city that's close. Rav Elazar Omer shtei mevi'in shtei agalos. So and Rav Elazar says no, both of them bring an egla. Each one brings their own egla, agala. No, egla. So my love, the Hakam Ifligi, the Tanakama Savri, Yevshalat Samsim, Rabbi Laza Savri, Yevshalat Samsim. So the Gemara says that that's exactly the Machlokas. Machlokas is, according to the Tanakama, where nobody's bringing, Yevshalat Samsim. We don't know. And according to Rabbi Elazar, no, both of them are bringing, Yevshalat Samsim. So the Gemara says, Vitizbara, think it through. Does that make sense? Ika Savri Tanakama, Yevshalat Samsim. I don't understand. If, according to the Tanakhama, one city is closer, we just don't know which one, so what do you mean now no one brings an egla rufa? Right. Am I? Lo hayu orphan. Yaviu egla achas bishutfus. V'yisnu. Have each one of them bring, or let's say it better, have both of them bring one calf, and they'll make it tonight, they'll make a condition. And how will the condition go? The Gemara doesn't say. Rashi fills in the condition for us. Where's Rashi? No. V'yisnu. Oh, I'm sorry. Rashi above. Go back to the bottom of the previous page. Okay, Rashi over here provides the Tanai. Look at the last Rashi on the previous Amud. And Rashi over here gives us the formula. What's the condition that you're going to say? Very simple. Look, either you're closer, which means that we will just simply wave our half of the egla to you. It'll be yours. And if our city is closer, you'll wave your half to us, and it'll belong to us. Each one of them would now get a kapara based on this condition, based on this tanai. Ella. It's one. Only one city needs a kapara. The closer city needs a kapara. So if you hold the Yefshalat Samsim, so that means one of them is closer. We just don't know which one. So we'll have a joint egla arufa, and they'll just make it tanai. Right. Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, in other words, we're talking about getting a kapara based on a condition. You can't do this. I'll give you another example where you cannot do this. You can't do this by chatas, by carbon chatas. You can't do that. Where, you know, I may have, we have an idea of, we have an asham talui. We do have an asham talui. Right, but okay. If you find out that you did it, you have to then bring another chatas. The Gemara says it just kind of pushes away the onish for now.
No, but
why
can't do it? It's not at all.
We'll talk about. We'll come back to Suffolk in just a moment. El alahani tonight to kulei amar shalat samsem. So the Gemara says no. Everyone in this brisa holds efshalat samsem, meaning we know they're equidistant. V'hacha bekrova v'lo krovas kamifligi. And over here, you know what's that issue? Is there such a thing as equidistance in the world of Egla Rufa? Meaning, the Torah says, Ha'ir HaKrova. Are we entertaining that this possibility that there are two Ir HaKrova? So do we say Krova and Afilu Krovos? Tanakama Sava Krova, V'lo Krovos, Rav Elazar Sava Krova, V'Afilu Krovos. Good. And Rav Elazar, who's consistent with what he said in the bottom of the previous Amud, says that when the Torah says the closer city, the Torah also means the closer cities. Meaning that if two cities are equidistant to the mace, so then both of them are going to bring an egla rufa. My havilah, so the Gemara says, okay, let's try to get to a conclusion. Let's get to the bottom line, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rav Amram Tana Nimsa Mechuvan, Tana, we learned in the following braisa. Nimsa Mechuvan Mishtei Ayaros, if you find it equidistant, Rav Elazar Omer Shtei Mevi and Shtei Agalos, V'chachamim Omrim Yaviu Egla Achas, V'shutfus, V'yisnu, perfect. So you bring, so here we have now machlokus between the Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Rav Elazar we're familiar with. This third time we're seeing Rav Elazar, which is both cities are going to bring an egla each. What about the Chachamim? We say one egla arufa between the two of them and make it Tanai. My kasav rabbani, kasav rabbani efshel samsem, ukrova vefel ukrova slicey tarte. Obviously, if you can ascertain that they're equidistant, and he holds krova v'afilu krova, so then he'd be agreeing with Rav Elazar. Obviously, he doesn't. E krova v'lo krova s'afilu chadol alaisi. And if he disagrees fundamentally that you can only have one closer city, so if they're equidistant, so no one's going to bring an egla rufa. Ella lav shmamina kasavi rabbanan ef shalat samsem. So it must be that the chachamim hold you can't ascertain. One of them is closer, and we don't know which one. And so what you do is you bring one jointly, and you make it tonight. And the Gemara says, and now what do you see? That even bidei Adam, E.F. Charlotte Samsem. Okay, you cannot ascertain.
So both cities contribute to the buying of this.
Yeah, so both cities will buy one Egla Rufa, and they would make it tonight. And they would say, look, we don't know which one of us is closer. We measured. It came awfully close, but, and to us it looks the same, but we know it's not true. We know one of us is closer, we just can't ascertain. So here's what we'll do. We'll bring a joint Egla Rufa, make a condition. If you're the closer city, our half goes to you. If we're the closer city, your half goes to us. Okay, good. And that, right, the halacha falls like a chachamim of Ef Shalat Samsem, and we say that even Bidei Adam. That is the that's the conclusion of the Gemara. It's interesting, by the way. In other words, right? We took Ef Shalat Samsem and we broke it up into two different categories. One is Bidei Adam, the other one is Bidei Shamayim. What's the example of Bidei Shamayim? The twins coming out of the mother. That's Bidei Shamayim, meaning you have no involvement of that whatsoever. What's the case of Bidei Adam? It's a funny case.
Yeah, but the thing is, it may not exactly fit into the Samsem category. Because it's a matter of measurement, but it's not a matter of like being there to see exactly when something happens.
Well, I'm saying, but Bidei Adam.
Yeah, that was the example of the Mizbeach. We don't know where exactly.
There's an element of Shamayim involved in the example the Gemara gives. The Gemara gives the example of a guy dies between two cities. We don't have control of where the guy dies.
Well,
when you,
yeah, but what about the Mizbeach? Example of Mizbeach.
We have more
Mizbeach.
Matter
how he dies coming out too.
Yeah. Right, right. I'm saying, when you're constructing, right, like the Gemara's example yesterday, of the Mishkan and the clay Mishkan, so there, you're starting from scratch. And the Gemara says, if you hold the Ef Shalat Samsem, so how are you going to measure with precision? What the Gemara's answer was to that question yesterday was, well, try your best. What the Torah is telling you to do is, try to get as accurate a measurement as you can get. Okay. That's clearly Bidei Adam. I'm just commenting on this case over here where the Gemara clearly puts it in the category Bidei Adam, but you know there's a after the person died, right? After the person died, now it's all up to us to determine.
Fair. Regarding the twins coming at the same time, what is the law in terms of what happens in terms of giving it the before?
Well, we hold the Ef Shalat Samsem, which means that only one of them came out first, and now we go on to the rest of the Mishnah. Well, that's wait. We have more mission to go through.
In terms of two at the same, you know, like the next morning you see a twin and you don't know if it's at the same time or not. So you choose only one.
Even if we were standing right there, we hold Ef Shalat Samsem. It's impossible. We don't know. We simply do not know which one comes out first.
We accept Bidei Shamayim.
We accept it in both, Bidei Shamayim and Bidei Adam. We accept Ef Shalat Samsem. That's the accepted position. We don't accept Rav Yosei Glili. Halacha. Okay.
So only one of them
is a Bechor. Which one? So?
Suffolk.
So now what? So, in the Mishnah, the Yatzur Shem Rosh and Kach, Rav Yosei Glili, both go to the Kohen, the Chachamim say Ef Shalat Samsem. Ela Echala Vechala Kohen. So one of them goes to the Kohen, one of them stays by you. Okay, now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Okay, which one does the Kohen get? So remember, the Mishnah said, as machlokas, between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Tarfon says the Kohen gets a better one. What? Why? So Rabbi Tarfon, Omer HaKohen, Borah Lo Asayafa, next part of the Gemara, let's continue. My time of the Rabbi Tarfon, Kasavre Hahu de Barya, Nafak Bereisha. Stronger one comes out first. Okay, now doctors, I know. Okay, but yeah. So that means, think of all your twins now that are born in the Torah. Esav Yaakov, Esav stronger. Peretz and I was going to say Chetzron. Zerach. Peretz and Zerach. Peretz is stronger.
Wait, who stuck out the hand first?
Peretz stuck out the hand first, but then Zerach was born. Oh, so Zerach is stronger.
What about your own?
And what about
your own?
My own?
Oh, yeah, the C-section though.
They did come out C-section.
You're assuming that they want to come out.
Okay, so
maybe the stronger one
right.
to stay in.
Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says that the first one that comes out is the stronger one. And by the way, you have to understand, he's saying this. In other words, we normally, let's look what he's saying it against. We normally say by money, I'm mostly mechaver al avaraya, meaning you're coming at me, you're taking my money, you better have proof. What Rabbi Tarfon is saying is, this is proof. This phenomena, that the stronger one comes out first, is such a strong reality that somebody can come over to me and take my money. Now, what you'll see later on today is that Rabbi Tarfon may back away from that argument. But right now, the Gemara gives that as the argument. Okay. Now, what about Rabbi Akiva? Now, first of all, what does Rabbi Akiva say in the Mishnah? Well, I was about to say it's unclear. It's not unclear. I mean, read the Mishnah, but it's unclear what he means. Look at the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishamnim Beinehem. Mishamnim Beinehem. What does that even mean? Now, it could be that the shamnin comes from the word shuma, which means that we make an estimate. But that's not right. What I just said is not correct, because that would be mishamin meinehem. You would take out the nun. Mishamnin meinehem comes from the word shamein. The fats between them. Right, yeah.
Take the fatter one?
It's unclear what he means. So the Gemara now wants to know. I'm Rabbi Kivra Mishamnim, I'm Rabbi Chebra Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. HaKohen Noto Khusha. What it means is that the Kohen takes the weaker one. Okay. And why? It's very simple. It's really simple. Amotzi Mechaber, Olav Araya. Look, we don't know which one came out first. We hold like the Chachamim, Yev Shalat Samsim. One of them came out first, we don't know which one. And now the Kohen comes over to me and says, okay, I'm entitled to one. So you say to him, okay, but you don't know which one came out first. So you're going to take the weaker one. So he says, yeah, but look at the Mishnah, Mishamnim Beinehem. And part of what's bothering him is Beinehem between them. What does that mean? What does that mean? Sounds like there's some sort of split going on. So he says to Rav Yochanan, I don't understand. Amar Lei, listen carefully to the response Rav Yochanan gives. Okay, I always accuse Rav Nachman of being sharp and sometimes a little abrasive. Okay, Rav Yochanan over here takes a stab. Ad de achalta kafnayasa bevavel targimina misefa. While you were eating dates out in Bavel, so we were explaining the Mishnah using the end of the Mishnah. While you were eating dates out in Bavel, and Rashi gives it a little more of a kick. Rashi writes, Ad de achli kafnayasa bevavel beosha yisa ochal tamarim bevavel. You were eating out dates in Bavel and you were enjoying yourself and you were really living the good life in Bavel, and meanwhile here in Eretz Yisrael we're cracking our heads open to try to figure out the Mishnah.
They had more gossip
in
Israel even then.
It's funny because the Gemara and Sanhedrin, you know, we always do these comparisons of Taurus Eretz Yisrael and Taurus Bavel. We're learning the Bavli, meaning right, Bavli you know, seems to have won the milchama, the battle of supremacy of Torah Shabbat Peh. But you know, Rav Yochanan clearly over here says that, you know, we're doing a better job over here.
No, but next time Rav Yochanan goes against Rav and Shmuel, he always trumps them.
The Rambam writes, it's important Rambam, everyone should know this. Rambam writes, in the earlier generations of the Amorayim, meaning Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Rambam writes this, the dominant Torah was in Eretz Yisrael. unequivocally. And Rambam doesn't use this as one of his proofs, but he writes very clearly that that's true. It's just a fact. He says later on, as the generations continued, so then dominance moved to Bavel. The consensus moved to Bavel. But in the earlier generations, Eretz Yisrael was really the center of learning. Okay, so the Adach Halkaf Nayas
beBavel.
I don't have a source for that. I don't. Right? Tosus, by the way, if you look at Tosus kind of softens it a little bit. He doesn't say it as roughly as Rashi says it. Tosus says, look at the end of the Tosus, the second Tosus on the Amud. Right? He writes, Ela Omer Dachi Perusha Mutav Shiela Chalios Etzli Ulachoch Ba'alach Ulafarsham Yishiyise Ochel Kafneos Bebava. Your time would have been better spent learning with me than out there in Bavel. Okay, not as rough. Either way, the again, kind of get lost in the zing. But what does Rabbi Akiva mean? So again, Rabbi Yochanan's very clear. He's very clear. What Rabbi Akiva means is the coin gets the weaker one. Okay, how do you read that in the Mishnah? Because look at the next part of the Mishnah. Diktani Sefer Meisachad Mehem Rabbi Tarfon Amar Yachloker Rabbi Akiva Amar Motzim Mechaveh Ol Averaya. If one of them dies. So then you look at the cone, you say, go away. Right. In other words, right. The one that died is your Bechor. And Rabbi Kiva says, Amotz Mechaver Olavaraya. So what are you hearing? It's very clear. Rabbi Kiva says, Isak Adadcha Mishamnim Beineim Dechi Adadei Pligi Hachanam Liflog Gabi Hadadei. If Rabbi Kiva was speaking to some idea of splitting, of we're partners, so if one of them died, so you would split. One of them would be, you know, they're both partners. Elamai Mishamnim Shuman Yehe Beinehem Da Amar Leila Kohen Aisi Raya De Bechor Hu Vishako. Right? Shamnim Beinehem means Shuman Yehe Beinehem. Right? And the extra, the excess, the fats between them. Meaning it's as if to say, like, they're debating over that fat, meaning the excess. And the owner says to the Kohen, okay, now that it's between you and me, and now that it's up in the air, bring me proof. And you can't, and so therefore you're not going to get, you're not getting the larger one. I'm going to get it. Da'amar le'le kohen, I see right the bechor hu v'shakil. Good. Okay, that is Shitas Rabbi Akiva. And I guess at this juncture of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva is going to simply not agree with Rabbi Tarfon's assertion, stronger one comes out first. Meaning just not, you never like to say they're having a machlokas and mitzios, but right now I'll say it. Right, seems to be a machlokas and mitzios. Hasheni yirat jista v'chay b'matans Rav Yossi poter. Now we go on to the next part of the Mishnah, and that is the next stage, which is, what do you do with the second animal? Hasheni, I'm sorry, so again, which one do you give to the Kohen? Let's say it like Rabbi Akiva. You give the weaker one to the Kohen. Now you get the fatter one. Now, but what do you do with it? You see, it's not that simple because we don't know which one was the Bechor. So it could still be that the fatter one was the Bechor, just as from a Mamonos issue, the Kohen's not entitled to it. But it could be the fatter one's the Bechor. So, Yireh, so you let it graze.
Once we assign something, it's already settled, not go with this whatever.
No, we're not assigning.
You're assigning. Give me this is the before going to the coin. You're assigning this as the before.
But we can't do that. Meaning, I understand what you're saying, but we cannot just simply say we're going to determine which one's the before. We don't know. We simply don't know. Okay. Just happens to be. I'm right about this, but I'll discuss it later with you more if you want. So now that second animal that's maintained by the balabais, so it could be the bechor, so you have to let it graze until it develops a blemish, and then eat it while it has a blemish, meaning psula hamukdashin. Okay, that part's easy. It's the next part of the Mishnah which is confounding. The Mishnah then writes, according to the Tanakama, chayv b'matanos. The Kohen now comes over to you, says, okay, you got to keep the animal, but now at least give me the matanos. Give me my zor l'chai
b'keva. But you're treating as though it has kiddush
adegu. Good. So that's what's going to bother the Gemara. V'yashen yirat shi'istah v'chai b'matanos Rav Yossi poter. My time of the Rav Meir. Now, the Tanakama is Rav Meir. Right? Nobody told us that, but the Gemara is telling us that. The Tzadik HaKam is Rav Meir. So I'm Rav Yochanan Hov HaKohen Balo Mishnei Tzadim. So the argument for the Tanakama is like this, or now we'll call him Rav Meir. The Amr Le'i Bechorhu Kulo Didihu Ilo Bechorhu Havli Matanos Mine. Good argument. And by the way, when we say argument, the Kohen doesn't have to actually articulate this. We're speaking on behalf of the Kohen. The Kohen now comes over to you and says, look, I know you got to keep the larger one. Fine. But now, listen to me. At least give me the Matanos. Look, it's that animal that you maintain for yourself is either one of two things. Either it was the Bechor, which I just simply, I couldn't get.
Then it's all mine.
Then it's all mine.
Right.
Or it's Chulin, which means that the Zerah L'chaim V'keva belong to me. So I'm coming at you Mishnei Tzadim with two possibilities. And that's the only two possibilities they are. So you give me the most of those Matanos.
But you said that the Kohen couldn't have a claim against the owner.
The Kohen?
Another Kohen, I don't want to slaughter it now. I mean, there's all these options to...
Let me try to be clear about this. The two animals came out. One of them is a Bechor. We don't know. Right? So far, so good? We don't know which one came out first. Now, these two animals are sitting by the owner, and the Kohen says, okay, one of them is a Bechor. And the owner says, I agree, one of them is a Bechor. E.F. Shalat Samson, we don't know. So I'll tell you what, you'll take one. Which one? Machlok between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Let's assume like Rabbi Akiva. You'll take the weaker one. That doesn't mean the weaker one was the Bechor. It just means that we agree you're entitled to one, so I'm giving you one. And I'm giving you the weaker one because I'm Otsim Echaveh Olav Raya. But we still don't know which one was the Bechor.
The nature didn't change.
The nature didn't change. And so now, while I get to hold on to one of those animals, could be a Bechor, so I have to treat it with Kedusha.
Why don't we look at it as though the one that we assigned to is like a Poder for if in case. So it's a Poder, like a...
You can't redeem Bechor. Okay, good suggestion. Just, there's not going to work. So now that I'm holding on to this other animal, now... So the Kohen comes over to me and knocks on my door and says, look, here's the story. It's either Bechor or it's Chulin. If it's Bechor, it's all mine. If it's Chulin, at least I get Zerah L'chaim V'keva. Okay, that's Rav Meir. That's good, but you hear that. It makes sense. And Rav Yossi, my time, huh? So what's the basis of Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi says you turn the Kohen away and you say to the Kohen, go home. Meaning I'm keeping the whole animal. But when you think about it, Rav Meir is absolutely right. He's absolutely right. So listen carefully because this is going to be a little bit tricky. Amar Rava, Asu she'enu zoche ki zoche ve'af agav d'lamat liyadei Kemanda matala yade v'zavne liyisrael b'mume. It's tricky. What the Chachamim did over here is as follows. Asu she'enu zoche kezoche. They made somebody who was not zoche as if he was zoche. We're talking about the Kohen right now. And even though the animal didn't get to his hand, it's as if it got into his hand, meaning the Kohen. And what he did is, he exchanged it to the Yisrael with a mum. Meaning, look at Rashi. Asu she'enu zoche kezoche. Af al pi shelo zoche kohen b'haich dahalamat liyadei me'olam. The animal hasn't entered into the hands of the Kohen yet. Meaning, we're talking about right after birth. It's going to go to the Kohen, but it's not in the Kohen's possession. What the Chachamim did basically is they transferred it to the Kohen's possession. It's as if the Kohen is holding on to the Bechor. In it, it's in his domain. Asu ki ilu zacha b'hol mikara havishaycha beyad kohen de shema didei ninu shavive rabbanan keman demata liyade l'shum b'chora. It's as if the Chachamim actually transferred it to the hands of the Kohen. Now that's step one. Step two, next Rashi. V'zavon le'yisrael b'mume. Now v'hadashak le'ida chilufeha uvechor shemachru kohen le'yisrael pater min amatanos. Now, the way we're going to view it is that the Kohen exchanged his with the Yisrael's. It's as if the Kohen gave what belongs to him to the Yisrael. It was an exchange. Meaning, look, when a Kohen, let's not pretend. Let's actually say the Kohen actually got his Bechor, and it got a blemish. So now the Kohen can eat it. You know what the Kohen can also do with it? He can give it to whoever he wants. It's his. In other words, right? It's psulei hamukdashin, but he's entitled to eat it, and if he wants to,
he can sell it to the hamukdashin. couldn't sell pistol lemon griffin.
Are you not allowed? You're not. You have to eat it.
Yeah, but
you have to eat it yourself.
Right.
Why? The Torah just simply says that you're going to shecht and you're going to eat it. There are limitations. You can't work it and you can't.
But you can sell it.
You can't sell it in the market. But it's yours. It's total. You have full ownership of it.
The coin.
It's ownership with restrictions.
The coin.
Yeah. It's a coin. It's not kaddush in the sense that a non-Kohen can't eat it. Anyone can eat it. The Kohen can do with it what he wants. He wants to go over to a woman and be mekaddish with the bechor that has a blemish. I mean, again, after he redeemed it, he absolutely can. So now, the Kohen, once he has it in his possession and once it develops a blemish, so he sells it to the Yisrael. Yisrael doesn't have to give matanos. Remember, psula hemukdashin is compared to tzviva ayal. We learned that in the first parak. So over here now, so that's if he really sold it over to a Yisrael. So the Rav Yossi argument of our Mishnah is that there was chachamim legislated. Even though it didn't enter into the hands of the Kohen, we're going to play it as if it actually entered into the hands of the Kohen. And so therefore now, when the Yisrael walks away with his animal, it's as if it was already in the hands of the Kohen and then transferred over to the Yisrael. That's why it's exempt from Matanos, from Zor L'Chai V'Keva. Why would the Chachamim do that?
We have to go the whole song and dance.
Yeah, right. I'm asking the same question. Why would the Chachamim do that? Perhaps the Gemara doesn't explain. The Gemara doesn't give any explanation in terms.
But the thing is that our basic premise was that this thing had kiddushat haguf.
Right.
And something that kiddushat the whole gift metanam kind of doesn't apply to.
But again, it has kedushas aguf. It's a bechor. It's possibly a bechor. So we're going to treat it like a bechor. So once it develops a blemish, now I can eat it. The Gemara now is trying to explain according to Rav Yossi, but how come I'm not giving...
But the thing is, even though you can eat it, it still has kedushas aguf.
Psulei hamukdashin.
But the thing is, they retain the kedushas aguf, no?
Psulei hamukdashin. It's now... No, anyone can eat it. Anybody can eat it. Psulei hamukdashin, anybody can eat. So the Gemara... I'll tell you what, let me make a suggestion later in terms of why that would be. In the meantime, that's Rav's explanation of Rav Yossi. So, good. So Rav Elazar says, look, what if we have a case of Safek Bechor? Meaning, not our case, but Rashi says, I'll give you a simple example. Let's say twins come out, but it was boy and girl. Okay, and we don't know which one comes out first. Came out first. So now, what's the story? You tell the Kohen, bye bye. Okay, and that means then that you get to keep the first possible firstborn animal. But it also means that it may be the firstborn animal. So again, let it graze, develop a blemish, redeem it, and you get to eat it. Rav Elazar says, here, there's no debate. Rav Yossi and Rav Meir will both say, you don't have to give them matanos. That you do have to give them matanos. Shechai b'matanos. How come modiman Rav Yossi? And when we say everyone agrees, we mean of course, Rav Yossi. Pshita al kalo kapata Rav Yossi hasam ala de chalif miyad kohen to asu shein azocha kezocha. Yeah, the Gemara says... Of course, meaning the whole argument of Rav Yossi of why the Kohen is not entitled is because asu einu zoche kezoche, meaning we treat it as if it already went into the hand of the Kohen and he exchanged. But here, nothing went into his hands. Meaning I got to keep it all. Ava ein chalif b'yad Kohen lo. So the Gemara says, so of course Rav Yossi would agree that of course the Kohen can come over and take the matanos, because again, he's knocking on your door and he's saying, look, either that male is the firstborn, so you're going to give me all of it, or if it's not, if it's the second one, at least give me the matanos. Good. So the Gemara says, no, ma'u detein matanim de Rav Yossi kusav de imechai v'lai ben matanos asili de giza v'avoda af agav de ein chalifim yad Kohen. I might have thought, yeah, look what would happen now if you give matanos. What's the thought process? It's a very good thought process. If I'm giving matanos, it's chulin.
Not thinking
Right. And if I give matanos and it's chulin, so then I could do with it whatever I want. I could shear it, I could work it, I could drink the milk of it. In other words, it's nothing. So it'll confuse people, right? Like all of us here in this room are right now. It'll confuse people if I give the matanos of this animal, and people will say, and the owner will say, oh, must be chulin. So that's a havamina. It's a pretty good havamina. And the Gemara says, Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. Chiddush is that despite the fact that we may enter into that type of thought process, you still, the Kohen is entitled to his matanos. Omi matzis amad hachi v'atani sefer shayir av yosi omer. Kol shechalifa v'yad Kohen patim and matanos v'ab meir mechayev. So the Gemara says, you read. It's not the Mishnah, it must be a Braisa. You read the Braisa, and the Braisa says that if the Khalifa were Biyad Kohen, meaning there was an actual exchange, so then you're exempt from Matanos. So that means. It's a Mishnah?
The Mishnah.
All right. Vatani.
And it's upcoming Mishnah, I think.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. So the so only when there is a chalipin. Oh, there's a mission on the bottom. Okay. So kol biyad kohen patim and amatanos. Rav Meir mechayev chalipin biyad kohen in and chalipin biyad kohen lo. Ma'od etemer Rav Yosel drav de Rav Meir kamar le. So the Gemara says even after learning that Mishnah, it could be that Rav Meir was not addressing his own position but responding to Rav Yosel. Look, lidi according to me, afilo in chalipin biyad kohen di mechayev la amatanos asil degiz of avoda. Look, I think you should never give matanos because once you do, it'll lead to the impression that it's chulin. But liditcha, but I know you disagree with me. Da odili mi aich de chalifim yad koin dasu shena zocha kazocha. So, but at least agree to me that if there was an exchange, like in the case where the two that come out were both male, and now there was an exchange between one animal and the other animal, because again, asu. We basically hand off one of those animals to the Kohen even before it gets into his actual possession, and we look at the animals as if they were exchanged, and so consequently that would mean now you don't have to give matanos, because essentially what you have in your hands now are psule hamukdashin, v'amalei Rav Meir lo, and Rav Meir would say no, I don't agree with that as well. Okay, good. Amar of Papa next. Hakomodim is Suffolk Meiser. What if you have Suffolk Meiser in your hand? See Rashi. Rashi goes through an illustration. And by the way, when I say see Rashi, it's on the previous page. Rashi goes through an illustration of what would that be that was a Suffolk Meiser, meaning we're not sure if it was the 10th. Shepatim and Amatanos there, it's exempt from Matanos. So ha'chamonim an rameir pshita adkan lo kamechai rameir ha'sam ala b'suffolk b'chor hova olav koim mishneit sadim. The Gemara says, of course, because Rav Meir says that you have to give your matanos to the Kohen and only Suffolk Bechor. He's coming at you with two arguments. It's either Bechor, which means it's all mine, or at least it's Chulin and the Zor L'chaim V'kevar are mine. But here, by Suffolk Meiser, he lost one of his arguments. Done. So Aval Suffolk Meiser lo ma'ud etem atam ad Rav Meir lo tishtach ech toros matanos afilu Suffolk Meiser nami kamash malan. So the Gemara says, well, no, maybe the argument could have been that Rav Meir requires you to give matanos, so you don't forget about matanos. Lo tishtakach. Don't forget about the whole concept of matanos. And any time there is an opportunity to give matanos to a Kohen, even if he doesn't have a valid argument, maybe Rav Meir will tell you, you got to give it. The Gemara says, is that really plausible? Rav Meir Mechayev. Ma'u detem Rav Meir afilu safik ma'isa Mechayev. Could be Rameir would be mechayiv even by Suffolk Meiser. V'had demiflegi b'chalipin. And why are we having a debate by chalipin, meaning by bechor? Lo dicha kochad Rav Yosi, depater afil ha'echad ha'koin ba'alav mishteit sadin. Because even where the coin's coming at you from two arguments, we want to accentuate Rav Yosi's position, where Rav Yosi is going to say, no, you don't give it to him. So kamash malan. That's why, that could be a reason why our Mishnah is limiting debate to Bechor and not to Meiser. Meis Echad Mehem. Now, again, we go back to the case. Case is your animal gave birth to twin boys. We don't know which one comes out first because we hold like the Chacham and Eif Shalat Samson. Which one does the Kohen entitled to? So that's a machlokus between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. Then the Mishnah, and are you obligated to give matanos of the one you retain for yourself? That's a machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. It's a lot of information. And then, what if one of the animals died prior to the Kohen coming and collecting his animal? So Mesa Chamem, Rabbi Tarfon, Omer Yachlokus, so Rabbi Tarfon says you divide. Gemara says... Right, that's the Gemara's question. So Amay Yachlokin, Echli Shamein, Mais the Kohenu, Vahadika, Dabalabais, Vikachush, Mace, Dabalabais, Mace, Vahadika Kohenu. Gemara asks, I don't understand, Rabbi Tarfon, didn't he just express to us in the beginning of the Mishnah that the stronger one came out first, the fatter one came out first? So look which one's fatter. That's all. If the dead one's fatter, you say to the Kohen, okay, good, enjoy it. And if the thinner one's dead, so the Kohen says, good, that one's yours. So Amar Rabbi Ami Chazab or Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Ami says Rabbi Tarfon was Chozer. So as I mentioned earlier in today's daf, Rabbi Tarfon did argue in the Mishnah, the fatter one comes out first, and then you see Chazar. You see that Rabbi Tarfon retracts. Now,
if he retracted, why did he keep it in the Mishnah?
The Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't use this language over here, lo zaza Mishnah mimkoma, that the Mishnah doesn't like to move. Meaning, even though there was a change of position, but sometimes Rabbi Yehuda Anasi likes to keep that original argument in play. There's a certain validity to, even though we don't accept it, but there's a certain validity to that argument which Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would like to maintain.
Is it a question of validity, or is the point to say that, you know, like, these issues have been raised before and this was a resolution and
Come up with it yourself? Right, like could be. Rabbi Kiva Amar Motzi Mechavei Olav Raya, Amar Rabbi Chia, Mashal, going to try to give us a better understanding of this debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. Let's review. You have two animals by you. You know one of them belonged to the Kohen. You don't know which one, and then one of them dies. So Rabbi Akiva basically says to the Kohen, okay, I'm sorry. Not only am I sorry, but please get out of my house. Okay? Right, bye. And Rabbi Tarfon says, no, you divide. Okay, so what's that issue over here? So the Gemara is going to try to give us a way to understand. So Amar Rabbi Chia, Mashal, Rabbi Tarfon, Ramah, Davidoma, Lishnaim, Shif, Kiro, Eitzel, Roweh, Sheminiach, Ramah, Beinem, Amistalek, where, yeah, basically the two owners who are entrusting it with a third party. In other words, the way we're going to view these animals as if they are entrusted in a third party, and now, yachloku, meaning we don't know whose animal's alive, we don't know whose animal's dead, and nobody has rishus, nobody can claim, I'm right now, not just the owner, but it's in my possession. Right, so yachloku. No one has a chazaka. And to understand Rabbi Akiva, we'll just simply say, no. The way to view it is that right now the Bala Bayis is the Muchzak. And along comes the Kohen, and he's knocking on your door, and you say, you don't know which one came out first. Dead one may be yours. And you want to argue otherwise?
How could Tarfon say that there is no Chazaka?
Right. So wait, just wait 1 second. Allow the Gemara to try to correct. Alabamai Pligi, Rabbi Kiva. I'm sorry. Did I skip? Mishama de Rabbi Kiva? No. Alabamai Pligi, Rabbi Kiva, Palak Bishnaim, Shef Kiro, Etzel Roa, Sheminiach Roa, Umistalek, Rabbi Tarfon, Palak, Be'echa, Shef Kiro, Etzel Balabais. Amarava, Vitamer of Papa, Hakom Modim. So he says, no. Everyone agrees. Bishnaim, Shef Kiro, Etzel Roa, Sheminiach Roa, Be'nem, Umistalek. Look, if we kept it by a third party and we don't know what happens, so then of course he just walks away and then, you know, Yachloku called the Alam Gavar. Like, in other words, we'll have to work it out. And Uva Echashiv Kiritzabala Bayeshamot Mechavela Raya. Lo Nechluku Ella Bechacha Balabayas Veroa Kohen. So the Gemara says here it's a subtler issue. The issue over here is, look, we know who the field owns to. And we view the Kohen as if he's a shepherd. Rabbi Tarfon Savar Aknui Kamaknale Bechatseru Venichale Delas Avin Mitzvah Bamamone Vahavale Kishnaim Shif Kid Eitzel Roa Sheminiach Roa Beinem Mistalek. Rabbi Tarfon says, when you have a shepherd on your premises, you are makne, you actually acquire him a piece, right, a percentage of your property.
Even if you don't want to designate that coin to be a recipient of your.
I guess, meaning.
So any coin just walks in the property, boom.
I understand. But in other words, we're just talking about how to understand bailus, how to understand ownership. The way we view, when I say coin, I mean just the generic term.
Not a specific coin,
but just a coin. We view the coin as if he's shepherding, and I'm makne, and he's part and piece of it. He owns part of the field, which now basically makes this case like two people holding it by a third party, because each one of them has a chazaka. And Rabbi Kiva Sefer came and he said, "Pseida lo makne le." So lo makle mi da'am.
That's like a conceptual chazaka. In business, we have chazaka. You really, right, physically holding.
Good. So you hear Rabbi Kiva much more than you hear Rabbi Tarfon. And the way that Rabbi Akiva views it is, Rabbi Akiva says, no, this is not. In other words, you can have the coin being there as a shepherd. Lovely. But it's your chazak, it's your domain, it's your property. And you therefore hand over to the Kohen nothing. You don't give him a chazak at all. The Gemara says, mid'am, nothing. And so essentially now what comes out is, these animals right now are in my possession. Yes, it's true, one of them will belong to the Kohen, but now we don't know which one, and one of them is dead. So we say to the Kohen, look, I'm Motzi Mechaver, Lavaraya. You're coming at me, I'm the muchzak, and you need definitive proof to know which one belongs to you. You don't have it, therefore you don't get. Okay, on this Mishnah, so much information, but the bottom line on this Mishnah, on the issue of Eif Shalat Samson, we're going to go like the Chachamim, meaning to say we do not know which one comes out first. Then, on the next issue of, therefore, which one goes to the Kohen, so Rabbi Tarfon expressed a viewpoint of give the bigger one to the Kohen, because he feels the bigger one comes out first, the Gemara rejects that. We go like Rabbi Akiva, you give smaller one's hands to the Kohen. On the issue of Matanos, now the one that you retain for yourself, do you have to give Matanos to the Kohen? So that's Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Rav Meir says you're obligated to give Matanos. Why? Because the Kohen now knocks on your door and says, Shnei Tzadim, either the whole thing belongs to me, or at least the Matanos belong to me. And that's a strong argument. And that's the halacha that's accepted as well. And finally, last point of the Mishnah. What if one of the animals die before you were able to give it to one of them to the Kohen, the weaker one to the Kohen? What if one of them dies? So now Rabbi Kiva says, Hamotz Mechave Lavaraya. We don't know which one was the firstborn. One of them died. Sorry. Okay, but keep in mind though, in other words, even in this last scenario, the one that you retain for yourself may have been the firstborn. The Kohen can't take it because he doesn't have enough of a raya. But you still have to treat it like a bechor. You have to let it graze, develop a blemish, and then you can eat it. And that's all you can do. You can only eat it. You can't do giza, you can't do avoda. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash, my Retzach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'zakri Sof, Ficha, Achir, Ben Torah, Mitzvah, Shenema, Anaycha, Feitzaman, Tzikol, Yagdol, Torah, V'yadir.